Breaking news, WREL is live where a deputy shot and killed a man. What we're learning led up to this shooting.
Dangerous heat, damaging winds, and flood threats. We're tracking who has the highest risk during back-to-back WREL weather alert days and for how long.
Caught live only on WREL Sky 5, a police chase and arrests. How it all started after a car was stolen with an infant inside.
And right now at 7 o'clock, let's start here on the radar. We got some storms pushing east of us tonight and another risk of severe weather moving in as we go into tomorrow. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Dan Haggerty. So several parts of our area saw a lot of lightning, saw some heavy rain this evening. Meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a bit of a timeline, Kat, on tomorrow's threat.
And I think those storms tomorrow will fire up around the same time. So that would be around 2 o'clock during the afternoon. Storms tomorrow night are probably going to linger, though, a little bit later than they did tonight. Tonight, we do still have storms to our south and east, a couple of isolated storms closer to the Sand Hills. But for the most part, we're not seeing the higher impact storms that we saw an hour or two ago. Tomorrow brings not only a greater threat of storms in the first place, but most of the viewing area under a level 2 threat for severe storms. Because of that, tomorrow is a WREL weather alert day. The main concern for us would be damaging wind gusts, but there's the potential we could see some localized flooding as well, a scattered risk for some of the flooding for the areas in yellow, and a low-end flooding threat for areas in green tomorrow. Hour-by-hour storm chances low through about lunchtime. By 2 o'clock, we're up to a 50% storm chance, 60% as we head throughout the afternoon and early evening hours tomorrow. We're also under a heat advisory once again tomorrow. These are going to be for the same areas that we had the heat advisory in today, most of our viewing area, including all of the Triangle and Fayetteville. The timing of this one, a little bit different tomorrow between 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. The heat index could be between 105 and 109. I'll have a closer look at that forecast for you, the heat and the storms. Plus, we're talking tropics coming up, yeah, Dan, a lot.
Can't forget about that heat. Yeah, lots to talk about, Kat. We'll talk to you soon. And as we track the storms tonight and that other round tomorrow, make sure to have the WREL weather app. It allows you to take that radar with you in your pocket anywhere you go. You get alerts straight to your phone as well, and it is free anywhere you get your apps. So we are following some breaking news in Wayne County, where deputies shot and killed a man who raised a shotgun at them. All this unfolding on Caps Bridge Road. It's near Princeton, not far from the Johnston County line. WRL's Aaron Thomas arrived on the scene about 30 minutes ago or so. He joins us live. Aaron, what do we know at this point? A terrible situation.
Yeah, most certainly, Dan. Now, the crime scene has definitely scaled back. As you can see, the yellow crime scene tape is gone, but we still have three sheriff deputies' vehicles that remains on scene. Within the past 20 minutes, we've actually seen a lot of activity. We've seen FBI agents take away some of the evidence that they collected. We also saw a driver take away and tow a Ford Expedition SUV. We want to find out the connection to the crime scene here. There's a woman that's here. She's in a teal shirt. Her name is Christy. She tells me that it's her mother that lives at this home. It's unclear if she's the one that was at the home at the time, but she says that there was at least one person at the home at the time. The person that sheriff deputy shot and killed today apparently does not live at this home. We're still trying to find out what brought him here, but what we know from deputies so far, they're saying that they received a call at about 3 this afternoon about a suspicious person with a vehicle, that being a shotgun. They arrived on scene. They tried to give this person verbal commands to put that gun down, but they say instead he raised it up, and that's when a person fired the shot. So, of course, there's still a lot of questions that we have as to why that man was here in the first place, his identity, and, of course, trying to hear from several neighbors who were definitely taken aback and shocked by what took place here in their neighborhood this afternoon. Dan?
Yeah, a lot of questions. A terrible outcome nonetheless. Aaron Thomas, live for us in Wayne County. Thank you, Aaron. We have more breaking news to tell you. This time in Cary, police have some crime tape up right now at a parking lot of the Lowe's Foods on Tryon Road. That's where a person is apparently having a mental health crisis. WRL's Julian Grace at the scene there. He joins us from behind the camera. Julian, what can you tell us?
Well, Dan, this is a very active scene. The officers have been here for a couple of hours trying to coax the man that's in the pickup truck, the white pickup truck, to get out. What we've seen since we've been here for the last 20 minutes or so, the man opens the door. He yells a couple of times at the people in the parking lot and also at the officers, and then he closes the door again. Now, some of the residents who are out here, they tell me that this pickup truck and the man that's in this pickup truck has been living in this truck for the past couple of weeks. They say he's a nice guy, but clearly something is going on here. As far as the Cary Police Department is concerned, they're keeping us at bay, and this is a very fluid investigation as we sit out here right now. So we're going to toss it back to you, Dan, but we're staying on top of this. Any new developments, we'll let you know.
All right. Police certainly appear to have the area surrounded, keeping the public safe. Hopefully this person can this all ends with everybody safe tonight. Julian, thank you. Live in Cary.
Dan, right now the WRL Live Center continuing to follow two developing stories in Raleigh, both about a mile from each other on MLK Jr. Boulevard here in Raleigh. On your screen, we'll start with the first scene. This is a shooting investigation. Investigators say this all happened early this afternoon, and according to investigators, someone shot a woman in that parking lot. Emergency responders took her to the hospital with serious injuries. Detectives did not give an update on a possible suspect at that scene. Now we can show you some additional video. This is about a mile down the road near Person Street. A motorcycle crash under investigation right there. You see that vehicle. The road was slick. It rained around that time of the crash. We don't know if these two scenes are connected. No word on that at this point. Also, the cause of that motorcycle crash is under investigation as well, and we don't know the extent of the injuries there. So a couple of stories breaking not far from each other in Raleigh this evening. Back to you.
Got it, Mark. Thank you. A terrible chain of events here. Two people dead and a third in custody. This after deputies say that a man shot and killed the driver who hit and killed his son. Sky 5 over the scene, as you can see here. This is northeast of Timberlake in Person County. WRL's Monica Casey explains how all of this unfolded.
Person County 911 got a call about a juvenile hit by a vehicle. When they arrived on scene, they found that teenager dead and the driver who hit him shot. J.R. Woods, his mother, and his father, Chad, were walking down Dink Ashley Road around 6 this morning after their vehicle ran out of gas. According to the Person County Sheriff's Office, they were just 3/4 of a mile from their home when Jeffrey McKay hit and killed 17-year-old J.R. When McKay stopped and called 911, J.R.'s father shot him. McKay died from his injuries. Deputies tell me Woods and JR's mother then got in McKay's car, a state-owned pickup truck, and drove home, leaving McKay and JR at the crash scene. Person County deputies searched the pond and soybean field for the gun that Woods told them he threw there when they arrested him. Chad Woods is charged with second-degree murder and larceny of a motor vehicle. Monica Casey, WRL News in Person County.
Several people are in custody after this one. You see the chase here. Police chasing an SUV that was stolen with a one-year-old inside. Sky 5 captured this exclusive video of the chase as Durham police chased after the stolen car and then the people who were inside this afternoon. Tonight, the child, fortunately, is safe with family, and the six people are facing charges. WRL's Shelley Jackson explains how it all unfolded and ended.
The baby's mom tells me she was working at this hair salon on Roxborough Street. Her husband came in to take her to lunch. He said he'd wait outside in the car. Then he had to run back in to get something he forgot. When he came back out, the car and the baby were missing. Isaac's mom called 911 around 11:55. Durham police say they were able to find the car by pinging a phone in the vehicle. The police gave chase. You can see that in this exclusive Sky 5 video. The Honda makes a right turn into an apartment complex, the Independence Park Apartments. Here you can see the car pull up and six people jump out and run. Police give chase, one man falling to his knees with hands in the air. Police say six people, four juveniles, and two adults were arrested. Baby Isaac was found here at the Excelsior Classical Academy, less than half a mile from where the suspects were arrested. He had been dropped off before the chase. Isaac's mom says he is okay. He was not injured in all of this. He doesn't even know what happened. But she does want this to be a warning to other parents. She never thought something like this could happen to her or her family. Shelley Jackson, WRAL News, Durham.
We want to tell you about a section of I-40 in Garner closing tonight. All westbound lanes around exit 312, you see on the map, will be shut down from 10 p.m. until 5 a.m. Crews are demolishing one of the old flyover bridges connecting 40 to U.S. 70. And these closures are going to be happening through Thursday night. Traffic will be directed to take NC 42 east to U.S. 70 west. The work is part of the 540 project. You know, one of the hardest parts of having a pet is knowing their lives are so much shorter than ours. But there's some new amazing research underway in our area that could ultimately help your pet to live longer. Plus, new video shows the moments a group of divers were rescued off of our coast. What we're learning about the group reunited with family tonight. And as we head to break, a cloudy look at Fayetteville. No, not too shabby this time of night. Storms are pushing out of that area, but we'll have the full forecast and what we have in store for us tomorrow. Next. Well, how about that? Lake Gaston makes you be happy to be alive, doesn't it? Take a look at that. Beautiful out there. Speaking of happy to be alive, let's go from the lake to the ocean. We got some new video that shows the moments the Coast Guard found the divers who were reported missing off the North Carolina coast. They went diving yesterday and then never resurfaced. They were on a recreational boat called Big Bill's when it happened. The group, including a teenager, imagine that, a young person, and three men, they were spotted around 12:45 this morning by strobe light about 46 miles southeast of the Cape Fear River. Coast Guard crews launching a life raft and brought them back to land safely after more than five, I'm sure, very long hours. The divers were not hurt. Getting some big hugs back at home. A change in leadership is coming to Meredith College. President Jo Allen announcing today she will retire at the end of the 2023-24 academic year. Allen's been the president there for some time, 13 years, and the college's first alumna president. The college says a national search for her successor will start soon and will be led by the Board of Trustees. So right now, there's some groundbreaking research underway at NC State, and the goal is to help these little guys stay in our lives a whole lot longer by helping them to live longer lives. Now, it's only in clinical trials, but it's already showing some great signs of success. WRL's Brett Neese shows us how aging affects dogs, not just physically, but also mentally, and how that process might be slowed.
Evan Blount has had his pug for 9 years and can't imagine life without him.
Well, he's with me all the time. I've often referred to him as my shadow. He sleeps with me in the bed. He's just, if I move out of the room, he's in the next room with me.
Unfortunately, no dog lives forever. But Dr. Natasha Olby at NC State is on a mission to give dog lovers a little more time with their best friends.
When I see the ravages of aging in the clinic every day as a veterinarian and how we tend to shy away from the very complicated cases that have multiple problems, of course, that becomes more intriguing to me.
Her research began in 2018, and it's now in the late stages of their first clinical trial. Olby is looking at whether or not certain supplements can slow the aging process. The goal is to keep a dog's mind sharp and maintain its senses and mobility.
We know that we can quantify many of these changes very safely. We didn't want to cause any harm, but in addition, that dogs actually really enjoy it, so it's quite positive for them.
70 dogs are in this study. One group received the supplement while the other received a placebo. It wraps up in December.
It's pretty terrifying, yeah. Particularly if you see a big effect, you're always like, oh, is that going to be the placebo or is it going to be what we're testing? But it's very exciting, and it's what all the owners want to know as well.
While this research won't make our dogs live forever, it could give us more quality time. And for owners like Blount, well, that's priceless.
Not only is it probably good for the dogs, it's probably good for humans as well. But, you know, if we can have these guys a little longer, it's excellent.
Brett Neese, WRAL News, Raleigh.
It really is amazing. After December, Dr. Olby and the team will review the study results, take a closer look. They're hopeful that a lot of the research can be translated to other species, including humans. Maybe we'll live longer, too. So scientists, let's stick with them over at NC State because they're doing some great stuff with animals and pets, and they have a reason to turn your lights off at night. There's this new study. It shows light pollution is linked now to lower survival rates for two songbirds native to this area. Researchers found the gray catbird and the house wren have lower survival rates as the amount of artificial light increases. They found no link between pollution levels and survival rates. The study drew on 20 years of data collected by regular people and submitted to the Smithsonian Project. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now. Amazing what the people over at NC State are doing when it comes to pets and just animals in general. They have so many great projects over there.
They do. And, you know, the National Hurricane Center director now came from NC State as well. So they do a lot of good stuff over there. Outside tonight, we're starting to see things quiet down. I think that there should be a really nice sunset for most of us this evening. We're not there just yet, but Friday, heads up, it's going to be our last 8 o'clock sunset of the year in Raleigh. We are seeing a few thunderstorms try to push into Moore County as they cross the county line. They're dying down. Looking at southern Sampson County, still some rain around, as well as Wayne County, Wilson County, but nothing severe there right now. Tonight, we're looking at the potential to break a record. It's an unusual one. It's not the coolest low, but the warmest low temperature. And the previous record, 77, set back in 1995. We're forecasting 78. So I think at minimum, we would at least tie the record tonight. 79 is the low in Fayetteville. I have some good news for you, though, and the scorching summer heat backs off a little bit. We've got to get through tomorrow first, 95 the high. A heat index could get up to 105 to 110. By Wednesday, though, you can see a big drop. Upper 80s for highs, still feeling like the mid-90s out there during the afternoon, but not dealing with those triple-digit heat indices once again. Satellite radar showing we do have a cold front on the way, and that's what's going to bring the drop in temperatures and heat index forecasts, but that front isn't going to pass all the way through. What we expect to happen, the front pushes through, brings more storms tomorrow, and then it gets stuck toward the North Carolina coast and coastal plain. So as we get into the middle of the week, there will be greater storm chances in our eastern counties. So let's take a look at what to expect with the front. This evening, we have that threat for severe storms. Tomorrow, we have better thunderstorm chances with damaging wind gusts and hail, and isolated flash flooding will be possible tomorrow as well. We're also watching the tropics. There are two systems now that we need to keep an eye on. One has a 30% chance of developing. It's this system closer to the coast of Africa. Another, a 20% chance. While both of these have low chances of developing right now, I did want to point them out because European model probabilities give this a little greater chance of development, closer to about a 40% chance for this one, and even a 60 to 70% chance for the wave closer to Africa. Both of these will bear watching in the coming weeks. And a reminder, once we get past August 20th, that's when we see more than three quarters of our major hurricanes develop. So we've had a quiet month, but that's not unusual. As we get into the end of the month in September, we typically see things ramping back up. And unfortunately, based off of everything I've been looking at lately, I think that the Atlantic's going to be waking up here pretty soon. So we'll enjoy the quiet period while we can. We are still going to be facing the threat for severe storms tomorrow. Tomorrow is a WRAL weather alert day due to the level 2 threat. Wednesday, we see a little drop in temperatures. Still a chance for some storms, though, mainly in the eastern part of our viewing area. And then once we get past Wednesday, we do dry out a little bit. High temperatures climb back into the low to mid 90s. By next Monday, we're back up to 95, but today was the hottest day so far this year. We had 98, and we don't have any more 98 degree days coming up.
Great. It was unbearable in the sun. It was hot. All right, Kat, thank you so much. And yes, it felt like summer, no doubt today, but there are some sure signs of fall right around the corner. School's getting ready to start. How about the North Carolina State Fair? That's a sign of fall. Ticket sales are coming up. What you need to know to get your family a great deal. Also, you can listen to this newscast as a podcast. Maybe during your commute, the WRL News Daily podcast features entire newscasts from beginning to end, morning, noon, evening, 7 p.m. All of our newscasts are listed as podcasts each and every day. You can find the WRL News Daily in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
The
City of Raleigh's social district is about to reach a larger audience. Sip and Stroll downtown allows people to drink beer and wine and cocktails as they walk through a defined area of downtown Raleigh. It began in August of last year and has been quite popular. In May, the city council voted to then expand the boundaries to include more of the warehouse district and portions of the Capital District up to Hillsborough Street. That change, that expansion, will happen tomorrow. Sip and Stroll will also start an hour earlier with operating hours at 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., 7 days per week. It's hard to believe, but the NC State Fair is just a few months away, and you can secure your tickets starting tomorrow. This year's fair is set for October 12th through October 22nd. Some video from last year's fair. Advance sales from tickets, wristbands, and ride tickets go on sale tomorrow. You can get them through October 12th. The prices go as follows. Adults, $10. Kids ages 6 to 12 are just $5. Unlimited ride wristbands are $30 each. Tickets can be purchased on the State Fair's website. Wrightsville Beach is now home to a group of award-winning lifeguards. 22 members of the Wrightsville Beach Ocean Rescue Team competed at the National Lifeguard Championship over the weekend. They were among hundreds of participants who came to Virginia Beach to compete in this. The Wrightsville Beach team came in first place, numero uno, way to go. The Ocean Rescue captain says he hopes the award inspires more young people to take up the profession. Tonight's American Ninja Warriors will feature not one, but three people from our area. Brandon Thomas comes from Apex. He's on the show. Matt Calanz and Isaiah Lee, both from Holly Springs. They'll be competing on the national stage. Again, this is tonight. This is some video of Isaiah Lee and his head-to-head run in Florida. Tonight's semifinals kicks off at 8 o'clock right here on WRAL. Good luck. Tune in, everybody. Let's root for them. Get your day started super early with some Women's World Cup action super early. Tomorrow, Spain and Sweden duke it out for the semifinals at 4 o'clock in the morning. Maybe set the DVR for that one. You can watch all the action right here over on Fox 50. All right, thanks for making WRAL your choice for local news. Our next newscast is 10 o'clock over on Fox 50, and then we're back here at 11 o'clock on WRAL. A beautiful shot of the lake tonight as the sun sets on this Monday night. Have a great evening.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.